Well, I hope you guys had a good holiday. And how many of you guys had a really good holiday? Like three of you. You go, oh, I feel so bad. I need to pray for you. Let's bow our head. No. Man, you guys need to have a better holiday. I had a great holiday, except I got to tell you what happened to me. I had some crazy thing happen for Christmas. So I go up to my cabin, right? My family has this cabin in South Carolina. And I go just with my parents, and we both have dogs. You guys know about my crazy dog. I've already told you that. He's like 120 pounds now. He's massive. And then my parents have this massive German Shepherd, okay? And so we all cram into this car. They have this like little SUV, so we all cram in there. Both dogs cram in there. And we find out very quickly that the dogs don't like riding in the car. And so their dog is just barking the whole time and just going nuts. And so the whole way up was really, really tough. We get up there, we're like stressed out. We're like ready to, I won't tell you what we were ready to do, but we were not happy. So we get up there, we have a good time. And then on the way back, we're like, let's not repeat that. All right, we're smart human beings. Let's sit down and let's come up with a plan so that these dogs don't drive us crazy on the way back. So we do. We have this whole plan set out. We figured out that the hardest time was when we stop, you know, for like gas or go to the bathroom or whatever. That's when the dogs went crazy. So we had this whole plan on what we were going to do, who was going to get out first, who was going to get out second, the whole like system, you know. And so we're like coming to our first stop to pull off at a rest area, this gas station. And as we're pulling off, we're like, all right, you guys all get the plan down. We're like, yeah, we got the plan. We know what we're going to do. And as we're pulling off, just as we're on the exit, thinking through the plan, getting ready to do this thing so it's not crazy, their dog decides just before we could pull the car over and stop that he couldn't hold it anymore. And it wasn't number one. Okay. So I was like, I look in the rearview mirror, and you know how dogs do a little circle? It's this little like, where is it? Where am I going to poop? You know, like one of those. So he's doing that in the back, and I see him start swirling around. I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be good. And we're only like, we're on the exit. I can't just get to the side of the road. It just happens. And so he messes all over the whole back of the car. And when I mean all over, I mean like, yeah, like it was everywhere. It was disgusting. Immediately you could smell it. So you're like, blah, blah. You're like gagging, like, oh no, what just happened back there? My poor dog's just looking like, save me. You know, like I'm gonna die back here. And it was terrible. So I'm immediately like, hey, this ain't gonna happen. I'm gonna throw up all over the windshield. I gotta roll the windows down. Well, I forget that the dogs are free. So my dog decides at like 45 miles an hour, he was gonna jump out of the window I just rolled down. So as he's jumping out the window, I reach back and grab his collar, and he's like halfway out the window, pulling back in, swerving across the road, gagging, bat, bat. The dog's in the back pooping everywhere still, like it's still coming out. There's like some faucet going on. And it was like this crazy mess. I'm like, we had a plan. We had a plan, you know. But with one little big poop, this like whole plan went to poop. No pun intended there, okay? Yeah, pun intended. So we pull into the gas station. Everyone just breathe for a second. Wait, don't breathe. It stinks. Get out. So we all like go to jump out. And when my dog jumps out of the car, he's a big dog. So he has to have a chain instead of a leash. Somehow in his jumping all over the place, the chain wrapped around my dad's neck who was sitting in the back seat. And he jumps out of the car and my dad's just like, dot, dot. He's like getting pulled out of the car. My mom's screaming. I'm still gagging. It was this crazy scene. I'm like, we had a plan. This thing could not go any worse than it was happening right now. I'm thinking my dad's going to die, you know. Finally, I get the dogs. I take them for a walk, the whole deal. And I get my mom, my dog, and I just take a break. I need a breather, you know. I'm centering myself. And I look over just in a moment. And I see my dad, he's over there cleaning out the back of the car, poor guy. And that was a job in itself. And then there's my dog, and my mom had borrowed a hose from the gas station and is spraying him down against the wall in like 20 degree weather in Georgia. And it's turning to ice the second it hits him. The poor thing's just like shivering over, dying on the wall. I'm like, what is going on? How could so much craziness happen out of a good plan? Like we had a great plan for this, and it still all fell apart, the whole thing. And so you guys probably have stories in your life where you plan something out, you're like, this is going to work. And then it just falls apart, you know? And so we just know that like the best laid plans sometimes fall apart. It's just, that's how it happens. But God's plans never fall apart. And you're like, well, how could that be? How could every plan God makes works out perfectly? Like it doesn't feel all the time like that. Like there are things in my life that go wrong. Does that mean God's plan still being perfect in those moments? Yeah. And sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it's hard to look at what God's doing and see the whole picture from his perspective. But God's got a plan, and his plans don't fall apart. and his plans include you. And so tonight we're starting a new series, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, if you guys want to open there. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. We're just looking at this story that happened with this guy named Philip. And he discovers God's plan in such an awesome way. And the reason why I want us to walk through for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this passage and some really cool things that it teaches us about discipleship, about the Word of God, and about his plan. And we see it right here in the life of Philip. So we're just going to walk through just kind of verse by verse and talk about what this story is telling us here. So if you're there, Acts 8, verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Okay, stop. Right there, that's awesome. If you're not like, whoa, you're not reading close enough. Read with eyes wanting to see Jesus. And when you do that, you're going to go, whoa, what just happened? Do you realize an angel of the Lord just spoke to somebody? And we gloss right over that because we've been in church a long time. So we're like, yeah, it's a big deal. And we see that a lot. An angel of God just spoke to this dude. That's miraculous. That's mind-blowing. How many of you guys can say that, like, you're just chilling and all of a sudden an angel of the Lord shows up and is like, hey, do this. You're like, that just doesn't happen. And here Philip is, and an angel of the Lord, whether it was an actual angel or the Holy Spirit, this is a message from God himself to Philip. Do you know that our philosophy here at Firehouse, you hear me talk about all the time, is that we want you to learn how to hear God's voice and say yes, and then invite people along as you obey him. That's what we want for you. We don't want to cookie cutter things. We don't want to shove information down your throat. We want you to be able to talk to God, have a relationship with him, and hear him. So when he talks to you, like Philip is having happen to him right now, where God shows up and talks to him, you can go, that's the voice of the Lord. I can hear God right now. I know God's speaking to me right now. And then you can say yes. And you can obey what he's telling you to do. I love that Philip hears God's voice here. And there's a couple things you need to know, okay? Well, first of all, this is happening just a couple months after Jesus was crucified and rose again. Like Jesus was just on the scene doing miracles, healing people, having his ministry, and then this account happens right here, which means that this dude named Saul, who's later going to be Paul and write most of the New Testament, was still Saul. He's out killing Christians, killing people like Philip, who were going around talking about how Jesus, this dude who was the Son of God, died on a cross and then rose again 3 days later. Saul didn't like it, neither did his buddies, and so they're out persecuting Christians like Philip. So who is Philip? He's this dude who's a follower of Christ. So just before this, this thing called Pentecost happens. Pentecost was basically where God says, I'm starting my church right now. Jesus died, he rose again, and now I'm going to start my church. And so he got these followers together, and this crazy thing happens. The ground shakes. These like tongues of fire, flames of fire are over each head, and they all start speaking in different languages the glories of God. And everybody's just like, what's going on? And God makes a powerful statement. Before, the Jews got my promises, but now I'm extending those promises to the whole world because Jesus died for them and rose again. And so here's Philip. He's one of the dudes who comes along, and these apostles who just have that habit to them, they're like, we're busy. God's calling us to do all these things. There's lots of people that need to hear the gospel. There's people that need miracles and starving people and hurting people. We need help, Lord. And so God says, go get some dudes who can be your deacons. You ever heard of a deacon before? It means a servant. Get these guys to come help you in the ministry. And so they come along and they're going to help them preach the gospel. They're going to do miracles. They're going to serve. And Philip was one of those guys. So Philip gets chosen and called, and he comes over and he starts helping these apostles, all in a dangerous time where Saul is still going around killing people for sharing the gospel. All right? Then this is what the Lord says. To go down to this road, leading out of Jerusalem to Gaza, and he says, this is a desert place. Like, God is calling him to go to a deserted area. Now, I would have been like, Lord, are you sure? Like, do you know where you're telling me to go? Are there people there at all? Like, am I just going to be alone down there? Is it a barren, hot wasteland, like a desert? Like, or is it just deserted? Or is it dangerous? Are there robbers like camped out there waiting for people to come along and there's no one around, so they're going to rob me and kill me? Like, there's so many questions, God, about this place. Why would you send me there? But you know what Philip does? Look what it says. He rose and went. What an awesome picture of hearing the voice of the Lord and obeying it and just saying yes. He gets up and he goes. When he gets there, he's surprised. Check out the surprise. It says, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He gets there and he sees this guy with his whole entourage, right? He's an Ethiopian, means he's from Africa. He's an African man, and he is a high court official on the royal court for the queen of the Ethiopians. He's in a chariot. He's probably got soldiers all around him protecting him. He's in charge of the treasury, it says. So look, all her money, he has the purse strings, okay? This is the dude who has all the power. And as he gets up there, he sees this Ethiopian surrounded by soldiers in a desert place. I mean, it just doesn't sound like a safe situation. I bet they're on high alert. Like, they're thinking the same thing. Like, there's no one around. There's probably thieves and robbers lying wait to come kill us and take our money. And here comes Philip. And God's like, hey, run over there and yell out the dude's name. He's probably thinking, they're going to throw a spear through my head. Are you kidding me? Like, how could I do this? It sounds like it's such a dangerous situation that I'm being called to go into here. Now, there's something you need to know about this, because up until this point in like the New Testament, in the Gospels, everything that happened was like 100 miles around Jerusalem. It all had to do with the Jews. It all had to do with Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden we get to Acts. And after this Pentecost thing happens and God's like, I'm sending my gospel to the whole world, all of a sudden we get this story. And the dude was definitely not Jewish. He's an African man. And so God is making a statement again saying, this is for the whole world. My son died for the whole world. For people from all over this globe. I love them. He rose again to give everyone salvation that will trust in his name. And there he is, sitting there on his chariot, the symbol of what God's trying to tell us and what he's telling Philip. This message is for everyone. It says that he served a queen named Candace, and she's like this historical queen from Ethiopia. You can look her up. She was recorded to be the queen there, and at the time, they had warrior queens. How cool is that? Like these like warrior queens, like Wonder Woman, just like running around, like ruling, and she was a warrior queen that he served. And she was one of the coolest figures. He was answering directly to this woman. How powerful must he have been? They're reported to be extremely wealthy, and he was in charge of all their money. I mean, this is crazy. Philip must have felt this big. And God's like, but I want you to talk to him. Have you ever been in a moment where God's asking you to do something that seems too big, too scary, outside of your gift set? Like, you're like, God, I'm real shy. And how shy you made me, and you want me to go do what? Or that just seems like, I don't know if I can do that. And you got to sit there and look up at God and try to have this conversation and convince him to not make you do whatever it is he's asking you to do. You ever been there? I think Philip may have been here. I don't know if he felt that, because look at his response. I mean, the dude just gets up and goes, yes, Lord. I mean, I feel like I would have sat there and just kept talking to God, like trying to convince him, don't make me do this. This is super scary. Now look what else it says. It says that this eunuch had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So Philip comes up on this guy. He has no idea where he's going. It's going to be a desert place. Expecting to see anybody there. And then when he gets there, there's an African dude on a chariot who's like super wealthy, who's like one of the head officials of an entire nation, surrounded by soldiers. I mean, the whole world must have felt like it just flipped upside down. Like, what in the world just happened? Where am I? And then this dude, who obviously isn't a Jewish guy, obviously doesn't believe in the Jewish God because he's from Ethiopia, where they have a whole nother religion, is sitting on his chariot, and you know what he's doing? He's reading the Bible. What do I hear? He's reading the book of Isaiah right now. What is going on? What in the world? And he also had just come back from worshiping. Now, we don't know if he was there to worship because maybe he was a convert. Maybe at some point he had gotten saved. I don't know. Or not gotten saved, but turned to Judaism and was worshiping with them. We know that this was like a big feast time. It was a special time for them. So maybe Candace was like, hey, you're going to go down and diplomatically you're going to show up and bring some gifts to the Jewish people right now in Jerusalem because it's a special time for them. We don't know why. It doesn't say. But for some reason, this Ethiopian dude went and worshiped in Jerusalem and is now reading the book of Isaiah. Let me let you in on something. The book of Isaiah is basically all about Jesus. It's an Old Testament book before Jesus was ever born that was written in prophecies talking about what Jesus would do and who he would be. Of all books, that's what this dude's reading. So here comes Philip. And he walks up and he sees this guy. He hears him reading the book of Isaiah. And I just wonder, this guy's seeking answers. How cool is it that the Word of God has all the answers? It's so important. And how many people in your life are walking through your hallways or sitting in your class? Maybe they live in your same house and they've got questions about God. They're seeking answers. They're wondering who this God is. And you know what? It's a God you already know. It's answers you already have, some of you. And I just wonder what would happen if you reached out and offered to answer some questions for them. Offered to have some conversations about what God's done in your life. Offered to sit down and just read the Bible with them. Even if you don't have all the answers, you're like, I'm not a theologian, Rob. Like, I'm not a preacher. But you got the Holy Spirit. And guess who called Philip? The Holy Spirit. And he's sitting there with the Bible, just reading it with him. I think you can do that. Wonder how many people in your life would turn their lives over to Jesus if you would just ask, hey man, do you have questions? Are you seeking answers about who God is right now? I wonder how many of you are here tonight and you've got answers. Maybe some of you don't have answers. Maybe you're here and you're like, man, I'm seeking myself. Like, I don't know. I'm here tonight. I don't know Jesus. I don't know any of these answers. Maybe you're here and you're seeking. I want to tell you that Firehouse is designed for you. We want this place to be a place you can come and find those answers. You find life group leaders and Sunday school teachers and pastors that love you and they want to sit down with the Word of God with you like Philip's doing with this guy right here and be like, here's your answers. And be like, here they are. The Bible tells us. I hope you love the Word of God because it's his love letter to you. It tells you all about who he is and he wants you to know him. And so sit down in the mornings and open the Word and pray and read it. The greatest gift anyone could ever hand you. You can physically open and look at is the Bible. So sit and read it. Group up with people that love you, that believe in Christ, and study the Word of God with them. That's what we see Philip doing here. And look what happens. The Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Okay, so you want me just to run up there? Like, is that what you're saying here? Like, there's not some special thing that's going to happen to make sure I'm safe? And he says, so Philip ran to him. Ran. Imagine this crazy dude pops out of the desert and runs up to your chariot. Like, what do you think? If you're a soldier, what do you think? Like, you're going down, son. Like, you're dead. He runs. God, you said it. He takes off. He runs over to the chariot, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asks, listen to this. Do you understand what you're reading? Man, how many of us just need to ask someone, do you understand who Jesus is? Do you understand how much Jesus loves you? Do you understand what God's done for you by sending his only son to die for you? Don't raise your hand, but I just wonder how many of us have ever had a moment in our lives where we've shared that with someone. We've had an opportunity to talk to people about who God is and what he's done in your life. I love that some of you have lately been up here. You've been declaring that through baptism, saying, I believe. You're sharing answers. You're saying, I do believe who Jesus is. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. And I hope that we take that from the baptismal waters and from this building into our classrooms and our families, and we share and say, listen, do you understand? Do you understand how much I love the Lord and how much he loves you? And so he asks this question. Listen to the answer that this Ethiopian eunuch gives him. He says, how can I? Unless someone guides me. and he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. He doesn't get killed. He doesn't get stabbed by a soldier. He gets invited up into the chariot. And did you hear his question back? How can I understand this? This is nonsense I'm reading right now. Like, in my mind, because I don't have the Holy Spirit inspiring me, illuminating the word, because I don't have a clue what I'm reading, this just sounds like craziness. I can't understand this. I need a teacher. And that's why the Apostle Paul, the one who right now during this passage is out killing people, is Saul, later converts and becomes Paul, right? He writes this thing in Romans. He says, how lovely are the feet of him who brings good news. You know why? You know why it's a beautiful thing when you bring the good news of Jesus? Because it means people can finally understand. They can finally know God. And you've got it. Those of you who believe in Jesus Christ, you already have it. It's not this crazy class you have to teach. It's not this deep, deep theology you need to know. It's just what's already happened to you, what Jesus already did when he saved you and forgave your sin. You know it firsthand. You've experienced it because he did it in you. And he's just asking you to go tell people because they're out there saying, how can I understand this? How can I know unless you sit down with me and teach me this, what God's already taught you? I guarantee you there are people in your life that would sit down with you and say, yeah, teach me. I want to study God's word with you. Have you ever asked? Have you ever asked anyone? I want to encourage you to do that. I know it's scary. This would be scary to me too. But just like Philip, you can have the courage of the Holy Spirit. I just want to encourage you to ask. It says that the passage they were reading, check this out. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The passage, the exact passage he was reading, was a prophecy of Jesus' death and what had just happened a couple months before this. And that's when Philip walked up. Like, perfect timing, only God could do. And all Philip had to do was trust God. You don't need a plan, y'all. You don't need a strategy. You don't need to know everything. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have all the answers. God just wants you to trust his plan. It's better than yours. All Philip did was say yes. He just obeyed. He heard God's voice and he obeyed and trusted the plan that God had. And when he showed up, everything was perfectly in line. He didn't have to do a thing. The guy's literally asking him, what does this gospel thing mean? And he was able to tell him, look what happens next. The eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about somebody else? He got to literally answer that question. Who is this about? Well, let me tell you, right? This is what I came for, he said. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. This passage was all about Jesus. How crazy to be reading a prophecy that was written before Jesus and then to be sitting there and knowing that that had just happened and just taken place a couple months before. That prophecy that was written a long time before Christ was born was just fulfilled. And he gets to be like, you heard of that guy Jesus who died a couple months ago? And then he rose again from the dead? That's what this passage was talking about. It promised he would do it, and it just happened. And the guy's eyes probably just opened up like this. Like, what? Are you kidding me? It's written right here in front of me. That's what this is saying? And Philip got to share the good news about what Jesus had done, who died for him and forgave his sin and gave him eternal life. It says, as they were going along the road, they came to some water. How they found water in a desert, I don't know. Maybe that was a miracle too, but they're in a desert and they come across some water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? So he just heard the gospel of Jesus, how Jesus died for him and rose again. And he's like, well, I want to be baptized. He's like, there's some water right there. What's stopping me? Can we do this? I want to do it. I want to know who Jesus is. And listen to Philip's response. Hear what he says next. Verse 37. Some of your versions have this, some of it doesn't. But verse 37 says, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Baptism doesn't save you. The water doesn't do anything. But believing in Jesus with all your heart does. And so he looked at this dude. He's like, if you believe 100% in your heart that Jesus came to die for you and will forgive your sin, you'll be saved. And the guy says, I believe. With all my heart, I believe in Jesus. See, baptism celebrates the work that just happened in your heart. It's what Jesus calls you to do out of obedience as a next step to declare to everyone, I believe this and I'm not ashamed. That's what this guy wants to do. So verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. He's like, all right, stop right here. Call the horses back. Do whatever you can. Get me off this thing. We're going to the water. I believe I want to be baptized. I want to obey Jesus. Now listen to me close here. A lot of us do this thing where we believe in Jesus, and then we're like, phew, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. And then we just do our own thing. The Bible doesn't describe salvation that way. When the Bible talks about salvation, it says you believe in Jesus and it changes the course of your life. It transforms your heart. Now, you might not be a perfect person and you're going to struggle, but your heart changes course. And you desire other things, and you start to want to obey Jesus. And this guy, the first thing he heard he needed to do was be baptized. So he's like, let's do it. I'm not waiting. I want to obey. I want to hear God's voice, and I want to obey and say yes. But too many of us say, yeah, I want the salvation, but I don't want to do what you call me to do. I want heaven, but I don't want you asking things of me. And God's been tapping on your heart and being like, hey, I'm calling you to do this. And you keep pushing and pushing and pushing and saying no. Of all the things I want you to hear tonight, I want to beg you, say yes to Jesus. If you believe in all your heart that Jesus is the Lord, say yes. For some of you, you've been saved a long time and you've never taken that first step of obedience and been baptized. You just keep putting it off for whatever reasons. And maybe tonight he's like, it's time. It's time for you to talk to Rob after this thing and let's get you set up to be baptized so you can openly declare, I believe in Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of who he is. For some of you, it might be that thing he's calling you to do. It might be that person he's calling you to share the gospel with that just eats away at you because you know God keeps wanting you to say something and he keeps wanting you to share what they're looking for and you keep saying no. Salvation says, just like we see this guy, yes. Lord, yes, I want to do it. God, whatever you call me to do, let's go. Yes, God, I'll run into the scary situation because you've called me and I know it's your voice. That's what Philip did. That's what this Ethiopian eunuch does immediately when he accepts Jesus. Let's obey. Let's not just accept salvation and eternal life and then go, okay, I'm good now. Let's say, God, I want the whole package. I want you to take my whole life. I want to obey and see you do things that'll blow my mind for the rest of my life because it's you and not me. Because your plan is better than my plan. But that's where it gets hard. Because we don't want to let go of our plan. We've got one, right? You know how many kids you want, who basically like what type of person you want to marry, where you want to live, what kind of house you want to have, what car you want to drive, what job you want. You've got this stuff like thought out, right? It's your plan. It's hard to let go of that plan. It's hard to let God come into your life and go, I want to change this up. Because immediately we're like, no, we're not going to talk about that, Lord, not right now. And what we learn here is to look back at God and say, yes, let's follow your plan. It's better. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Like he gets transported. The dude just like poof, disappears. That's miraculous, right? Another miracle just happens. Have you seen your friend just like disappear and appear somebody else, somewhere else? Other than like Star Trek, I haven't seen that. But God does that to Philip. He just carries him off somewhere. And the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. He's like, I'm saved. The dude just disappeared. Woohoo! Like, he has no idea what's going on. Like, it's this crazy thing. But he's pumped because now he knows Jesus. And then look what happens to Philip. Philip finds himself at Azotus. As he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. He's still preaching the word of God. This dude just can't stop talking about Jesus. I love this guy. Everything he does is just one place to another. God's just sending him off talking about Jesus in a dangerous place that wants to kill him for doing so. And there he is. What kind of plans do you have for your life? What kind of plans do you have for this week? For the rest of this school year? Seniors who are about to graduate, what kind of plans are you making? School you're going to go to? What are you going to major in? Got a lot of plans we're making, y'all. And if God stopped you right now tonight and said, here's what I want you to do, would you say yes, even if it changed what you thought your plan was? Would you give up yours and receive his? Listen, there's this really cool part of this is you're not in it alone. You see Philip sitting there with this guy. There's this awesome thing God's decided to do. He made this thing called a church. The church comes from this word called ekklesia, right? It's Greek and it means called out. Called out of the world. You're separated from it. And so if we're the church as believers, we're called out. But you're not just called out to be like left on the side or told not to do stuff and be really bored. You're called out to join in to something God's doing, to his plan, to his mission, to something huge that you couldn't ever dream up on your own. And he wants you to say yes. He wants you to be around people who can sit with you around the word, just like Philip and the eunuch. And that's why we have small groups. That's why we have life group leaders to take you guys off this campus, to study with you, to encourage you in the word, to love you guys, to do things with you guys, for you to have a group of people around you that believe in Jesus, that you could do what they're doing and sit down and seek answers together about who God is. Take advantage of your life group. Take advantage of Sunday school. Take advantage of Firehouse and these places where you can be discipled with other people. That's what Philip's doing for this guy. Now I want to invite you tonight into the best plan that there could ever be for your life. You're like, how do you know it's the best? Because I've accepted it. Because I've done it. I'm a part of it now. I said yes to God's plan, and I know it's awesome. I want to challenge you to accept it, to say yes to his plan and just see how great his plans are for your life. I want to invite you tonight to say yes to God. For some of you, that means for salvation. You're here tonight and you haven't accepted Jesus. You don't know him as your Savior yet. And maybe you're accepting the plan is like, yeah, God, I need you to save me. I need you to forgive my sin. I want to encourage you. Will you come talk to me after this? Talk to your life group leader so you can know for sure where you go when you die. Or maybe tonight it's just for baptism. Maybe you're that person who you're saved, but you've never said yes to this step yet. This big step of obedience that says, I'm going to declare to all my peeps out here that I love Jesus. And tonight maybe you need to say yes to God's plan for you to be baptized. Come talk to me after. Or maybe finally you're that person who, man, I've been saved and baptized and now I want to grow. God's calling you into his plan to grow as a disciple in small groups and around the word of God to say, I love God's word. I don't get up and study God's word. I don't even study it any time during the day. The most I hear God's word or read God's word is at Firehouse or maybe Bible class if I go to Christian school. But I don't do it for myself. Well, maybe God's calling you now to take that step and say, every day I'm going to open his word and I'm going to study it. I'm going to memorize scripture. I want to find out who he is and get some answers. Or I want to get into a group of people around me to do that with them. I want to challenge you tonight to take that step. Will you guys close your eyes and bow your heads with me? Father, there are all sorts of stories about people in the Bible who have said yes to you, and you've done things they could never imagine. And so tonight, as we see Philip, and he's saying yes, and he's doing this, Lord, he serves as an example to us. Father, I pray that each person in this room would see his example, that they would turn to you and say, God, whatever it is you're calling me to do, I believe your plan is better than mine, and I want to say yes. will you do that for us? Now, with your guys' eyes closed still for 1 second, I just want to ask you, I don't want to leave here without giving you the opportunity to say yes. Maybe you're that person I was talking about a second ago who you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You've never done what this Ethiopian eunuch just did tonight in this passage. You've never trusted Jesus with all your heart to forgive you and save you and give you eternal life. And tonight you want to do that. You want to leave here knowing that you are saved in the sight of God, that you have an eternity promised to you. If you've never done that tonight, you'd like to do that, you'd like some answers, would you just do me a favor and just slip your hand up in the air and say, that's me. I want to do that tonight. I've never done that before. I want to know who Jesus is. I want to know that he's my Savior. If that's you tonight, will you just slip your hand up? Maybe you're here tonight and you're that other person. You're like, man, I've been saved, but I've been pushing off baptism for 100 different reasons. And I've never been obedient in that yet. And I want to be obedient. If tonight you want to say yes to Jesus and say yes to that plan and be baptized, would you slip your hand up in the air? Would you say, hey, Rob, that's me. I want to do that tonight. Yeah, I see your hand back there. Anybody else? That's me. I need to be baptized. I haven't done it, but tonight I know the Lord's calling me to do this. If you raise your hand, can you just look at me for a second? Nobody else, just those. And will you come talk to me right after this? All right. And finally, listen, this is where I'm at, guys, almost every day. If you want to grow in Jesus, and he's offering you this like time with the word and time with others to grow and know him better, but you're just not doing it. It's hard for you to open the Bible. It's hard for you to make time. You have a busy schedule. You got school. You got all these things. And the first thing you push away is Jesus. It's the word of God. It's growing in him. But he's calling you to grow. And tonight, maybe he's calling some of you guys to say, enough of that. I want to grow in Christ. Nothing else is holding me back. His plan's better. Rob, will you pray that I'm serious about that, that I do that? Would you raise your hand and just say, that's me. I need some prayer. Yeah. I need some prayer. I want to get serious in my relationship with Jesus. Yeah. Anybody else? That's awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Let me pray for you right now. God, you saw the hands. And you heard our hearts. And we pray, Father, that you would give us seriousness and excitement in our hearts to know the answers to things that we have right in front of us in the Word of God. Jesus, that we would desire a deeper relationship with you and the people around us as followers of Christ, as your church, God. Help us to follow you. Help us to grow in you. Father, help us to accept that your plan is better than ours. We love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.